Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Jerome, you will never dunk on Matt Mutombo.
Jerome Williams, defended nicely by Lynch, gets the ball back and puts it through.
Love it. Yes, sir. The Dog Pound is back in the building.
Does that mean I'm officially part of the Dog Pound now?
You are officially a part of the Dog Pound. You got the headband, the jersey. I love it. I got Adam Williams and Vince Carter and stuff. And in the back, I feel like the Dog Pound's back together.
Jerome, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Aside from this guy behind me, you know, you're my favorite rap growing up because, you know, you're so passionate and energetic on the court. I don't know if you could tell. Where I get it from. I tried to do that in my CYO, like house league games too. You know, I would bark out the other team and then my coach would be like, you can't bark at the other team. I'm like, why? JYD does it. He's like, you're not JYD. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't drive through any snowstorms for any of my games though. I did go by one rule as a kid that I know you went by too. And that's, you know, don't let the ball hit the grass.
That's right. Don't let the ball hit the grass. Like.
Oh, man. So I got to ask, is it true that your parents promised you with all the potential that you had, that if you did well in school, one day you'd be able to buy a Ferrari?
They did. They did tell me that. They did tell me. They promised me. They said, if you do well in school, you get A's and B's, you'll be able to get a Ferrari. And I was just like, man, I don't see how that works, but I'll trust you. I'll try it, you know, and I try to do better in school.
They said, Jerome, you get A's and B's, you know, if you get A's and B's, I guarantee you, they said, no, I promise you that you will be able to buy that Ferrari, you know, by the time you get finished with all your schooling.
It's fair to say, you know, your parents were a lot of inspiration to you, not just in your childhood, but also like as you came into the NBA and everything, right? Yeah. So I got to ask, what inspired you to get 20 rebounds off the bench?
Wow. Well, growing up, my dad and my mom obviously got me connected with the church early on. And, you know, I was an altar server and I did a lot of morning mass. So there's a lot of prayer going on before school. And I think that was a part of that 20 rebounds because the inspiration really came from my dad. Like I saw the dedication in him taking me, you know, basically to work every day at church in the mornings, 5 a.m. And then that was for like 6 a.m. mass. And, you know, off the bench, you know, my dad used to give me all these kind of, you know, crazy challenges. He'd say, hey, you get a double-double, and I'll drop and give you 200 push-ups. And, you know, or if I did something, he'd have to shave his head or do something. So I remember one time he was growing out his beard and he said, hey, I'm not cutting my hair until you get me 20 rebounds. And it was those kinds of inspirations that kind of led me to doing things and, you know, just going all out because it was almost like life or death. Like it was just something passionate that I knew I had to do, because I knew he didn't want to grow his hair. Right. That was he was trying to do. So I knew that like, you know, kind of irked my dad to have to do that. And then after the games, he'd be like, oh, he only got 18 rebounds. Look, I still got this beard. I got this hair. Help me out, son. And where, you know, some of that inspiration came from. He would just ask me to do things. It would be a challenge. And, you know, if it was 19 and a half, he wouldn't do it. It had to be the number that he said. So shout out to my dad, Johnny Williams Jr.
Sometimes even if you have that like good work ethic, you know, a little bit of an incentive too, you know, just to push you to that next level, right?
Just to push. I mean, all of my teams, you know, from Detroit to Toronto to Chicago to New York, they used to love when my parents would come in town. They just knew they were just going to get the full extent of the dog if they were there in person. So that was some good stuff back in the day.
I'll admit, the only reason I found that out is because I'm a card guy. And as you can see here, you know, I got this guy getting a rebound right here, probably one of his many in his career. So yeah. What does this quote mean to you? The man that knows how will always have a job. The man that knows why will always be the boss.
Man, it means so much to me, man. I really respect the fact, Ben, that you do your homework and have great interviews, because Coach John Thompson Jr. was a lifesaver. He was a lifesaver to not only myself, but many young Black men, in a way that is very unique. To the outside world, he was seen as this, you know, mythical figure of racial equality and perseverance, and really coming out of, you know, segregation and his family, and then going on to be this iconic coach who won the first African-American national championship in basketball. But to us, the guys he recruited and the guys he led to in, you know, inspire, was all about achievement in the classroom at a time when the players that he recruited, we all would get paid anywhere else that we went. We would have an opportunity to benefit from our name, image, and likeness, our NIL. And Coach Thompson was a catalyst for leading basically, you know, elephants to the water hole. You know, you can lead a elephant to water, but you can't make him drink, right? And he was leading us all to the water. And, you know, I was one of his players that actually took a drink and was taking in everything that he was saying, even though it was coded. Cause like when you take a water, you take an elephant to water, you know, he might not drink just because he might not feel safe, or that might be out of his comfort zone. He's thirsty, right? But he might not take that drink. And you do have to take those steps. And for me, it was all about education, because as you could, you know, talked about earlier, that's what my parents had inspired me to do. And then when I didn't have any scholarship offers at 6'2", that led me straight back to my faith and trying to just like overcome the hurdles of not being able to pay for school. So when I got to 6'9", when I had to go out and get a job and work and achieve my education through my hard work on and off the court. And then when Coach Thompson came and watched me play on the playground, that to me was like, you know, before I knew who he was, before I knew him personally, I saw him as this figure. But then the reality of who he actually was a guy in the community, a guy who was going to go find his players in the alleys, in the back hallways, underneath the rocks. He would find diamonds in the rough. Right. He would find, you know, and to be one of his last finds in his career is a huge blessing, you know, to come in and play with a guy like Allen Iverson, who also was basically shunned away from all the other Division I top colleges and universities because of a crime he didn't commit was a blessing. And Coach Thompson was a preacher of, you know, learning how to deal with life on your terms. And you can either, you know, be a guy that knows how to get a job and keep a job, or you can dig a little bit deeper. And that code was really based on us trying to learn and educate ourselves and knowing there's a beginning and an end. So the beginning is learning the how part and, you know, being in that situation where we were trying to get our education. That was part of the how, that was part of the first steps of learning how. And then there's other steps, because then once you learn that, now you got to learn the next step and the next step and the next step. So I remember when I first got to the NBA, how that impacted a lot of my decisions, because when I was offered by David Stern, the then commissioner, to take on a rookie internship with the NBA, I took it. Why? Because I was learning how, right? But I wanted to know why. And then when I got the opportunity to be on the, you know, the union of the NBPA, I took that opportunity because I was learning how. And all of these things, from the NBA internship to working in the union, gave me a better understanding of what the NBA represented, how it operated, some of its internal workings, and then knowing how to basically build a dog pound. So, you know, those are some things that, you know, all came from Coach Thompson, his teaching, right? His philosophies, his ways, all wrapped into one, coupled with my parents, who were my rocks and my anchors, that led me to, you know, bigger and brighter things.
The quote, the elephant anecdote you made reminded me so much of the quote that I like to live by. If you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day. But if you teach a man a fish, he'll eat for the rest of his life. So, you know, God bless Coach Thompson.
There you go. Amen.
So what can you tell me about the Kenner League championship game? And who did you meet for the first time sitting on the bleachers in the gym?
Yeah, that guy, you know, go way back. You know, we were roommates at Georgetown. And his name's Allen Iverson. This guy... I remember coming into the gym and coach letting me know, hey, first coming into the gym and seeing this little short guy on the bench and sort of just, you know, he was sort of just by himself in the gym, sitting down. I waved to him, he waved back, and I go upstairs to see coach, and he says, hey, did you see Alan downstairs? You say hello to him. And I said, Alan who? He's like, Allen Iverson. And I said, Allen Iverson is downstairs. And he's like, you didn't see him when you came in? And I was like, no. I mean, I saw some little guy down there. He's like, that's Alan. I was like, that's Allen Iverson, the guy that's dunking from the foul line and doing, you know, heroic, like all-star NBA type things on the court. And he's like, yeah. So I just tilted my head and I was like, I gotta see this, right? I got it. So I go back down, reintroduce myself. Hey, Alan, what's happening? Okay. You know, look forward to playing with you tonight, right? Leave the gym. You know, go do my normal pregame rest or whatever I was doing. And then a few hours later, you know, because we always show up like, you know, hour and a half or what have you early to get a warm up. We had our back, our back gym behind McDonough, like where the fans were. We had a little gym in the back. We get warmed up. So I'm like, all right, like get there. It's championship, you know, it's playoff time. I got to get it right. I show up to the gym. And the parking lot is full. There's a line outside. And I'm saying to myself, are they here to see me? I like, no, they're not here to see me. there to see Allen Iverson. I'm like, holy, I'm like, what in the world? Like, I mean, we had, you know, it was, we had good, you know, fan base when I was playing that summer, and it did get pretty packed, but this was a different kind of pack because there wasn't a line outside, right? They, you know, the gym would get packed as we would play, but this was different. And I knew it was different. So that first game, I'm like, kind of like really excited. Like, I'm excited for him. I'm like, dang, you know, he hasn't played in like 2 years. Hasn't even played basketball, right? So I'm like, man, he's going to be a little rusty. A, I mean, B, there's a lot of people here. Now I've been averaging like 25 and 15, right? But I'm like, but I want to see, you know, what he can do. And man, from the opening tip, the first play, right? He tips the ball. We tip the ball. Allen gets it. And the crowd just starts this, whoa. Like, it's like this buildup, and he literally takes two dribbles and takes, like, you know, from now we call it the logo shot, like where somebody is touching part of the logo in the center of the court. He pulls up at the logo spot, and like the crowd goes, whoa, and the ball goes in and out and comes out, right? And they're like, oh. And I'm like, oh, he pulled up from the logo. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm like inside, I'm saying to myself, whoa, what are we doing? What am I missing, right? What am I missing? Does he normally make these shots? So we come down, we play defense, blah, 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 blah. I get the rebound, right? And normally, I mean, I'm like point guard, so normally I just take it and go and do what I do. I said, here you go, Allen. Right? Again, the crowd gets into this, whoa. He come down, pulls up from the same spot, cash. Yeah, like it was like, and I was sitting there like, whoa, this is where he shoot from. I was like, oh, we're gonna, I was just sitting there, I was like, big smile came on my face. I'm like, oh, we're gonna be good, right? And then he begins to just do his thing, throwing no look pass. It's underhands, it's, you know, Jim's going crazy, shooting threes, pulling up from the parking lot, baseline shots, mid-range, dunks down the middle. Like, it was insane. When I say insane, it was insane. Shout out to my brother, Bubba Chuck Allen Iverson. He's the GOAT, right? He is the top 75 player in the NBA. Pound for pound, the number one baddest dude on the plane.
You never forget those moments when you see like one of the greats really perform for the first time and be like, oh, this guy's a good at basketball. Like, oh, all right. Bro,
he different.
Yeah, he built different. But you know, AI obviously wasn't the only one who made it to the NBA.
With the 26th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Detroit Pistons select Jerome Williams from Georgetown University.
Back in the days when you had to earn your nicknames, you know, not now these players nowadays, they just give themselves nicknames. And I feel like that only works if your nickname is the Black Mamba. That's the only time that works, when you give yourself your own nickname. But right, for the most part, you have to earn it. And you earned it from Rick Mahorn and Grant Long, you know, chained to the bench, ferocious. When the coach took the chain off, it was like unchaining a dog. So I got to ask Jerome, what can you tell me about Rick Mahorn, a pack of cigarettes and a box of donuts?
Man, I can tell you a lot about that. You know, shout out to Rick, Grant Long, And even if you read Coach Thompson's book, he said he actually gave me the nickname the Junkyard Dog. So I'm going to give a shout out to Coach, too, for that. Man, I remember my rookie year. In the NBA, back in the day, there were initiatives, initiations. And basically all it was simply, you know, is this player coming in. Is he coachable? Will he listen? Is he respectful? Meaning respectful of not only the game, but now this new world and fraternity that I entered into. And how you show respect is to listen to basically your coworkers, right? Because your coworkers in any workplace can make your life easy or make your life hard. And depending on the viewpoint of the boss, you know, your coworkers can really assist you in moving up the ladder. So the initiation is something simple for a rookie to do in the eyes of the veterans. But if he's not willing to do it, they're not going to be willing to give him any assistance or help with his job. So it was simply Rick Mahorn asked me, "Hey, Rook, I need you to get me a pack of cool cigarettes and a box of donuts and bring them to practice tomorrow." And I had a, you know, basically an option for me being an NBA professional to say yes or no, I'm not doing that. And my answer was yes. So when I got out of practice, I'm like, well, cool, I'll pick up the donuts in the morning. I know where to get the donuts, but these cool cigarettes, like, oh, where do I get those? And why does he even smoke? But anyways, all right, I don't care. I go hunting around for these cigarettes, right? And I live in, like, you know, out near the palace, you know, where sort of suburb life. And I'm like, there's no cool cigarettes out here. Been to like 5 gas stations. No, we don't sell those. I'm like, where do I get them? They're like, oh, you got to go down 7 Mile. I'm like, 7 Mile? It's like 30 minutes away. It's in the hood. I'm like, oh man. So I got to go down. I drove all the way down to 7 Mile, man. Sure enough, get into a liquor store down there. Got any cool cigarettes? Yeah. Well, what kind? Like menthol? Like, you know, like cool cigarettes, right? So I was like, he didn't really specify. So I was like, give me the most popular, right? So they gave me some cool cigarettes. And next morning I show up to practice, got the box of donuts, hand them to Rick. He's like, you got my cigarettes? I'm like, yeah. And then I hand him the cool pack of cigarettes. He looks at him, he's like, good job, Rook. I'm like, Rick, you smoke? He's like, man, I don't smoke. What the heck you get me happy getting Rick, you know, cigarettes for? And he was like, Rook, you passed the test. You know, anything you need, you know, everybody's got to go through me. And basically that was the eye of me learning, man, now I basically have an older brother, you know, for life and in terms of, you know, what he was willing to do for me, how he was willing to, you know, teach me, take me under his wing. He told me, he said, Jerome, you're going to have a long career as long as you, you know, listen to what I'm saying. And, you know, in hindsight, those were very powerful words. Those were very powerful, viewpoints and tutelage points that really made a difference in my career from him taking the time to, you know, as he was on his way out, to pour into somebody on their way in.
That's incredible. Did you pass that knowledge on down to any of your rooks once you got later into your career?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of my rooks, Trevor Ariza, still in the NBA today, just pouring into him, letting him know, you know, how to be a professional, how to stay in the league for a long time. Right now, right, still playing with the Lakers. So that was back in, you know, 04, 05, when he was drafted to the New York Knicks. You know, now he's in his, 17th year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's the kind of career that you can have when you listen to the veterans and you're willing to, you know, do what it takes to, you know, basically stay in this league. That's the hardest league to keep a job.
I want to move into your time after Detroit, of course, but in order for me to.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Dude, I have to ask one question about a specific game with Georgetown. Georgetown versus Memphis. George Butler hits a buzzer beater to send it to overtime. What's the significance of that game?
Man, the significance, man. First of all, that was my first trip to Toronto. That was my first trip to Canada. Yeah. That was very significant. I had never been outside of the country. And, you know, for a young African-American such as myself, that was a big deal. I thought we were going to be on an 8-hour flight. Literally, I thought we were going to be on an 8-hour flight to Toronto. I didn't know where Toronto, Canada was. When you say Canada to a kid in, you know, Washington, D.C. area, you're talking about almost like Mars. We get to Toronto in like an hour and like 20 minutes, you know, and I'm like, whoa, that wasn't that bad. wasn't that bad a flight, you know, like, whoa, you know, we're in another country, and obviously you got to go through customs and everything else. Significant of that was me, you know, I still have in my office right now, a signed Canadian $2 bill.
No way.
They gave loonies back in the day, they gave $2 bills. And it's somewhere in here. Another day, I had to pull that out. Mm-hmm. But basically, Allen Iverson signed it. Myself, all the starters: Othello Harrington, Don Reed, all, you know, NBA draft picks. Jahadi White signed it. And you know, that was significant. Like, because it was like, you know, we had this, you know, our per diem, which was like, I don't know, 20-30 bucks at the time. And when we exchanged it into Canadian dollars, we got like $50 back. We were like, what? We're rich, you know? But that game, it was an awesome game, sold out. The fans there in Canada were going crazy. You know, it was a play where the score was, we're down three. And it's like one of the players, I don't know, gets fouled. And somehow we get the ball, but there was like almost like 0 to 1 second on the clock, right? And I'm like, oh man, we done came to Canada, we're gonna, you know, lose to Memphis. Coach comes to the thing, he said, don't worry about this, we got this. You know, I'm drawing this play, right? So he's drawing up this play for George to catch it in the corner. But I'm still thinking to myself, and it's going to be a tough shot. It's only 1 second on the clock, right? And by the time we come out the timeout, you know, it's still like, you know, kind of like, you know, there's some things going on with the scores table. And I noticed that, you know, Coach Thompson had made his way after he drew it up back to the table. And next thing I noticed, 3 seconds on the clock. And we're like, oh, shoot, that's plenty of time for George to pull this off, right? He's got to get a good pass. And I mean, literally, like, the play is drawn up perfectly. We run the execution. George catches it, fades away in the corner, and it's like nothing but net. The Toronto fans are going crazy, and we're going crazy because we're like, oh, it's going into overtime. And going to overtime, we smoke Memphis and, like, win. And it was like, wow, that was also like our toughest game of the year so far. And, you know, we win and everybody's trying to figure out how we got started with 1 second and ended up with three. But something must have happened with, you know, the Canadian pushing the button. And coach negotiating. Hey, he didn't push the button fast enough. It was some time left on the clock, and we got 3 seconds, which we needed, and we got away with the win.
That was kind of like a preview of like, oh, it's hype up here in Toronto. Little did you know at the time, of course, right?
That's right. Little did I know. That gave me that warm, fuzzy feeling about Toronto. Like, you know, go up there and look, you're like, oh my gosh, I never want to come back ever again. You go up there and beat a ranked team, and you know, you have, you know, some buzzer beater type stuff. You're like, love Toronto. I love it.
And one of your most iconic moments with the Raptors is excuse me, I might butcher this this impersonation here, but
Jerome, you will never dunk on Matt Mutombo.
Jerome Williams, defended nicely by Lynch, gets the ball back and puts it through. Well executed, Vince Carter to Jerome Williams, and the foul. Billy got caught. Tandonoff, this is give and go. Watch what happens. Nobody's guarding Williams. Two guys went with the cutter. And what happens? Open, wide open, and the rotation was late. So they love JYD, Junkyard Dog, and Jerome Williams, easily a fan favorite. Here's another look. And this is just a nice give-and-go situation.
Obviously, one of the nastiest dunks I've ever seen. But I don't want to talk about, you know, Mount Matumba. You never dunked on Hakeem Olajuwon, did you?
Only in practice. No, I didn't dunk on him in the game. He was one of the guys, one of the centers that got away because when I got in the league, he was injured a lot, and he'd always miss the game when we played. But I did dunk on some of his other Houston centers. So shout out to Kevin Cato.
So yeah, you never dunked on him in game, but he did beat you in bowling, yeah?
He did, man. That dude could bowl. Oh my gosh.
Right.
The game over.
Game over, baby. Shout out to the Dream, man. Dream Shaker. He's the best. We go out and do things after practice or, you know, on our off time. And one time he invited me to bowl with him. And, man, this guy was throwing strike after strike. I'm like, good Lord. I was like, I got to work on my spin game or something. He's really good. You know, reminds me of Chris Paul. Like, Chris Paul is really good at bowling and ping pong and all these other sports. Like, I'm like, I don't know how these guys do it. I only had time for that.
I was talking to Chuck Sorsky a little while back, and apparently DeMar DeRozan's really good at bowling too.
Mm-hmm. But you know, those shooters, it's something about they can, you know, shoot and kind of spin the ball. Vince was good at bowling too.
Really, eh?
Yeah, he was good at bowling.
Vince Carter knocks down pins as effortlessly as he knocks down shots.
Ride the bike. Who on the current Raptors do you feel best exemplifies what it means to be a junkyard dog? I know you said Pascal Siakam in the past, but with this new team, I was wondering if there's anyone on the current roster that fits that mold.
Man, that new rookie we have.
Scotty Barnes?
Man, Mr.
Barnes. That's what I was thinking too.
Like, he really epitomizes junkyard dog action. Scotty, he's got some game. And I mean, I went and watched him out here in Vegas during the summer league. I had to have a chat with Mr. Barnes after the game. I told him, I said, if you can continue this type of play and this type of tenacity, he was picking up full court. I loved it. Like, he was doing some junkyard dog action work. Mm-hmm. And his defense, his length, the way he runs the floor, the way he was getting the ball to his teammates, definitely remind me of myself. And being that, like, sort of like that unknown underdog, like, he's not heralded. He's not a guy that people are like, oh, you know, Scotty Barnes. But then when you get out there and you start looking up at the board and you see rebounds, assists, points, he's all over the place, all over the court. He can play.
And the biggest thing too, I've noticed, aside from his game, is that, you know, his energy, right? Like after his teammates will do like some kind of play, he'll be the one like clapping and screaming, like getting them all pumped up. And then in my mind, I'm just thinking, you know what? It's like, it's almost like he's barking, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to put the, I mean, after the game, he's back in the back, he's dancing. So I started doing some dances with him. I started shaking a little bit. I like your flow, man. Yeah, we got to give him a dog pound nickname. He got to get something roused up, man. They Scotty Barnes dog pounds, doc, you know, dog Scotty or something.
JYD, this has been fun. I just want to close out with a couple more questions. This one being the one I've kind of been looking forward to asking you, but what can you tell me about co-hosting a late night wrestling talk show with Tracy Murray?
Oh man, I can tell you that. You know, we had a lot of fun. That was back in the heyday with The Rock and Hulk Hogan being some of our favorite wrestlers back in the day. Used to love doing that with Tracy. He's such a big, huge wrestling fan. And, you know, whenever I come into, you know, WWE stadiums back in the day, you know, we hear those dog pound chants, you know, JYD getting the ring. So it was great. It was great.
The jabroni beating now, pie eating, trailblazing, eyebrow raising, stronger than a bear, faster than a buck, the biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
Oh, oh man. Great. Like he's challenging. Oh, yeah. Look at this guy.
You even refereed a match one time, didn't you?
That's right. I put the referee hat on. It was a lot of fun. It was a girls match, but it was labeled as, you know, as one of the greatest matches, obviously, that a referee has ever had. I didn't mess up. I the winner who won came out on top, you know.
It was Trish Stratus, right? Because she's from Toronto. Yeah,
that's right.
I'm gonna give you a couple like this or that's. Brussels sprouts with a 32 ounce porterhouse steak or barbecue ribs?
Oh man, that's tough. I'm gonna take the steak though. That's my game, you know. But the ribs is, I can't eat those on game day, but I definitely those down.
I've chosen as my game day meal comfort food. I wanted to be comforted before I went into battle.
The Brussels sprouts with porterhouse 32 ounce. Gives you everything.
Great compliment to the meal. Absolutely.
What's your secret to cooking the best barbecue ribs?
Hey, man, it's all about the marination. You got to have them in temperature of water for the right amount of time.
You have to start, bench, or cut these three. DMX, Cardi B, and Taylor Swift.
Oh, shoot. I'm starting DMX. Oh, man. I am going to bench Taylor Swift, and I got to cut Cardi B. It's unfortunate because, you know, that you only give me three choices, and, you know, DMX, he's got to start because he's the dog pound. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Swift wore my jersey in New York at a game, so I can never, like, the worst thing I could do is put her on the bench. That's the worst. And Cardi B, I did meet at Big Three event, but she didn't have on my jersey.
So she's going to cut because of that.
I can only cut her because of that. Because if not, if she wore my jersey, and hold on, wait a minute, and DMX wore jersey on stage at a concert in Detroit.
Oh, that's crazy.
And had me in his locker room. So, like, there's reasons for it. There's levels to this, right? So it's not based on music, Cardi. Cardi, I love you, but it's not based on your music. It's only based on whether or not you rocking a dog pound jersey ever in life. And since those two did, I cannot cut them.
I
can't do it.
You can only drive one car for the rest of your life. What is it? And why is it a 64 Impala?
Well, shoot, if I can only drive one, it's going to be my 62 Lincoln Continental.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the 6.4, that's, you know, it's got too much action. You know, it's got the hydraulics. I can't rock with that for the rest of my life. But that 62, right? It's got the right air suspension. It's got the, you know, it's got the, you know, pull back seats. I can stretch my legs out. I can drop the top. And I can get my kids and my wife in the car at the same time.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. See, I had a bet with myself. I'm like, okay, I'm either going to sound really smart because I know it's either the Impala or the Continental. And I was like, okay, I got to pick one. And then if I pick the right one, I'm going to look like a genius. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go with the Impala. But then I'm like, oh, no. But, you know, you can't hit all home runs, right? But
that's right, because I had to give a shout out to Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube. Those are the ones who got me even wanting the Impala, because iconic Ice Cube in the movie, Boys in the Hood. And then you got Snoop Dogg with all the videos with Dr. Dre. And then also, you know, give me a shout out on stage when he was in. And then Snoop obviously coming to Toronto and playing in my game, you know, my celebrity basketball game. That was dope.
That's awesome. That's awesome. JYD, this is Paul. I got one last question for you. I know we're both men of faith here. One of my favorite Bible verses is Psalm 37:21. You know, the righteous give generously. And you're the first NBA player to do his own in-season after-school program, City of Detroit. 3 NBA Community Ambassador Awards. First sports ambassador to China. Mission trip to South Africa. Philippines, shout out. You know, Israel, India, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you have Philippians 4:13 in your bio on both Twitter and Instagram. How is Christ currently strengthening you?
Wow, man, he's strengthening me every day. Basically, to carry on the legacy of people like Coach Thompson, in ways of, you know, helping the next generation, you know, in the forms of scholarships through our Shooting for Peace program. That's given out over $10 million to HBCUs through their academic scholarship outreach, to working on my IP FAMBA, which is giving kids an intellectual property score that helps them with their NIL to get into school. It's a pathway to education, and it's a pathway to getting sponsored dollars and paid by their name, image, and likeness. And I think that's really how Christ is helping me right now, is just through the youth, through trying to help and engage the same way I was helped. You know, I was one of those, you know, diamonds in the rough, and there's so many out there that look like me. And, you know, whether you look like me or you don't look like me, I'm here to try to help and assist, because, you know, it really changed my life. You know, you sit here, you see these jerseys over my shoulders, and it's like, hey, I did that. And I appreciate you having my jersey in your office. And that means the world to me, because I know that that meant something to you. You're rocking the headband. You're in the dog pound. So what I want to do is make sure that through Christ, I'm doing the same thing, is giving other people some inspiration, giving some other people some opportunity. And that's what it's all about. Shooting for Peace, IP FAMBA, NIL, Alumni Pros, Global Sports. That's what we do.
Amen to that, JYD. And, you know, this has been a fun conversation. That, you know, we started this podcast with a dog pound bark. I feel like we should end it with a dog pound bark. What do you say?
Hey, definitely. I'm going to give you the dog pound bark, but make sure, I want all the people listening to this to go up and sign up for IPFAMBA.com. IPFAMBA, and that way you get your IP score, and the dog pound's getting ready to be over and out with Ben Carlos. Yahoo Sports. Let's get it.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea, with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.